Hello, I'm Trevor Dan, and you are listening to Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Okay, this is it then, Sarah. We're all set and ready to actually launch into all sorts of things. But I have to give the weather forecast, of course. Highs of 12 degrees centigrade, lows of 8 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a mostly dry and bright and breezy day. It will turn more breezy during the afternoon, but not to a sort of heavy routine. Just perfect weather to celebrate 1 year of Lincoln Inspired.
I know. Can you believe it, Alex? We were sat here 1 year ago.
You know, there was I stepped into, you know, my little Victorian sort of time machine setup. I pressed that button and I moved further forward. I didn't see any Morlocks. I didn't see any Eli. But lo and behold, we did find John Gerald. How are you, John?
I'm fine. Thanks, Alex.
Excellent. So, I mean, this good news. I mean, you are obviously one of the patrons. And that means, Sarah, of course, John, a very important person indeed.
Very important person.
VIP, very important person, very important patron. Did you sort of imagine that Lincoln would actually be getting this level of excitement over Lincoln Inspired 2014?
I think looking at the programme that was put on last year, it's absolutely reasonable that it has been so exciting because it was fabulous and it was very wide-ranging. I think that's the thing, that it doesn't specialise in one specific area. It's something for everybody there on the arts side.
Exactly so. Including, obviously, the celebrations of Lincoln Inspired and the Birthday Bash.
Which indeed.
Is taking place in a little over 36 hours from now.
It yep. is indeed.
With Elliot Morris.
Yes.
Yes, I know. Are you looking forward to that, Katie?
I am, but I'm not.
No, don't say that. don't even dare say that you might be in Birmingham. For goodness sakes, it's ridiculous on that sort of basis. Sarah, how can people get involved with Lincoln Inspired if they're thinking, this is nice, this is okay? I want to share the sort of line that we've actually got with Sarah Bullimore, with Ed Wellman, with Katie Grimerson, with John Gerald, with Fatini Efstathiou. Good morning, Fatini. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. How can they get involved, Sarah?
Well, exactly the same, really, as we did last year. We achieved so much in the last 12 months, and we kind of, you know, a year ago when we were sat here, we were basically launching our fundraising and starting quite slow, really, and just really asking everybody to help us over the next kind of month to pledge £5 or a pound. If every one of our Twitter followers actually donated a pound via our online donation platforms, we would have enough to reach over 1,000 young people and run the entire schools and education programme, changing lives for the better. So really, within the next month, the urgency is on to get all the fundraising in, get everyone donating, coming along to our events like the Big Birthday Bash, helping us through sponsorship and donations, just so that we can start finalising the programme at the beginning of December and crack on.
And we're going to be talking about that and more, of course, with respect to the website, of course, is?
It is lincolninspired.co.uk.
Do you know that's exactly what this gentleman says?
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for a millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right, too. There we are, Randy Reinhardt's a little bit of endorsement there from across the Atlantic. You might be interested to know, John, that Randy is working currently on a production which actually has been defined as Blazing Saddles meets Shakespeare. Yes.
Works for me.
Exactly. Besides, it's that kind of mashup that sort of connects together. Now, the World Fantasy Convention.
Yep.
Wonderful stuff. Heading to Brighton for the first time. Well, heading to England, actually, for the first time in a decade.
Yep.
And you're going to be there. What will you be doing at the World Fantasy Convention?
Well, I've been doing conventions for 40 years, 25 years as a professional. And basically, you'll have a programme there, which will be different things like panels with four or five people talking about a particular subject related to fantasy. I'm on an agents panel there, so it's quite useful for writers as well. And it means that fans can actually meet their heroes. They can meet the writers, which you can't do in any other form of literature other than SF and fantasy. As you say, we get it about once a decade. It's usually in the US. So there will be about 1,000 people there. And I, of course, as an agent, will be seeing a lot of my clients there, various publishers there, and talking about life with many of them.
Which is always critical, because life is something we should experience, not watch and observe. Sometimes it's important to just peek yourself above the parapet for a moment and just get a flavour in terms of what's happening. Incidentally, get well soon messages to Rosemary Kelly, who's a little bit poorly. She may join us for the second part of the programme, but I blame it all on watching Moll Philanders myself, but that's another line entirely. Fatini Efstathiou, once again, good morning. Welcome to the programme. An interesting line in this particular case, John, because Fatini is actually doing a full dissertation on the joys of the Disney version of Pocahontas.
Indeed.
Yes. And it's quite fascinating. It's looking good for, from that point of view. But the question initially, Fatini, is did you know about Lincoln Inspired?
I didn't know about Lincoln Inspired.
Third year English undergraduate, you know, didn't know about Lincoln Inspired.
But one extra person does now, so
yes.
it's like spreading that whole routine. Fatini, obviously, Pocahontas is very much in the sort of Disney world. What are your views on fantasy? Is it a genre you sort of follow through? Or?
I'm a bit of a realist, if I'm honest. I do enjoy fantasy and watching it and reading about it, but if I was to choose a genre of literature, I think I'd choose realism.
Realism. Okay. Mm. I mean, so realistic fantasy, John, is that a genre which you would say, I mean, are we talking young adults and urban fantasy here? Because that tends to be pretty realistic. You wander through the streets of Lincoln and, woof, there's a werewolf, and, woof, there's a fae, and there's something completely different there.
Something I discuss with authors who don't get involved in fantasy at all is the realism of fantasy. If you don't believe in it, if you don't suspend your disbelief, then it's pointless. So it has to be consistent. You have to believe in the characters and what's happening. But it doesn't mean that everybody should like fantasy. I mean, you know, everybody likes what they like, and I'm not on a mission to make everybody enjoy what I enjoy.
Exactly. You see, it's that kind of, it's like a rainbow coalition, if I can borrow that phrase, over the last century, and a certain American politician who shall, actually, I think it was Jesse Jackson who actually coined the phrase rainbow coalition, if memory serves. Katie, any questions that you've got for John Gerald?
What are you looking forward to most about Lincoln Inspired?
I think, obviously, because I deal with books, it's that side of things, the authors there. The fact that I'll be there talking to new writers about how publishing works, reading the first chapter of their books, and giving them an editorial take on it, because it is very difficult to get published. But publishers are always looking for new authors. So if I can help one author through that get published, then it's a good thing.
And this is one of the reasons why it's only going to be a matter of time before we get the official word from the Vatican that there'll be a canonization process heading in the way of the John Gerald. I think, you know, blessed John Gerald has a ring to it somehow. You know, I think we can move on from that to various other factors. Sarah, anything you'd like to sort of add with respect to John and his involvement and his connection with, obviously, Lincoln Inspired?
Yeah, well, you know, we really thank John for kind of believing with us and following us in the journey from day one and from back when we first met him as well.
It's like stepping together forward into the future.
And it's, you know, it's about everyone that we work with and on Inspired and any of the other events that we all put on together. It is like a big family working together.
Absolutely.
And that's really, really important about it as well. And even
that would make you the official mama of the family. Yes, the sort of matriarch.
I did hear the other day on training that project managers are like the mother role. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Mother, obviously, not in a kind of Mar Baker sense. You don't send us out to shoot people, basically.
No, but, just bake cakes.
Bake
and feed
cakes.
Them, yeah.
Yeah. See, that's wonderful. That's strategic thinking, that. I hope Cameron and his folk are actually bake some cakes. That's all we need. Ed, any thoughts and questions for yourself for the Gerald Meister?
No, but I did recently have a conversation with a third-year university student who didn't know what the Stone Bow was. So it's not just Lincoln-inspired that is
didn't
raising its profile,
the
but the Stone Bow
was.
Is also in need of a little profile raising. So Sarah Bullimore, you can add that to your portfolio of things to do.
We'll do a tour.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm just amazed. John, if people want to get in touch with a good self, presumably www.johngerralds.co.uk is the go-to website to check out.
That's right, and you'll see my email address on there, and anybody is welcome to ask me any questions about publishing, about writing, about agency, and, of course, science fiction, fantasy and horror, which is what I specialise in.
Absolutely, and what better way to actually launch the celebration of All Souls Day? You know, just prior to All Saints Day, nothing to do with Southampton, but you know, we'll just talk about that in a different line entirely, then obviously featuring your good self. Is this a particular time of the year which is good for horror writers? Do people actually, I mean, in terms of sales, do people, as we approach the kind of the end of the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness and we get into the Halloween scenario and so on, is it something, John, that you find you're getting more manuscripts to do, or is it good for sales? Do people buy more horror books at this particular time of the year?
Fiction in general sells a lot towards the autumn because of Christmas, of course. In terms of horror, certainly it sells through the year, but of course sometimes publishers will try to sort of fit in with specific things like Halloween. So for instance, Pan have just published my client Adam Neville, his new book House of Small Shadows, and that is specifically a horror novel A, because you've got the World Fantasy Convention in the UK, B, because it's Halloween, and C, because of the time they deliver, of course, because delivery dates relate very much to when a book is published.
Absolutely, and nice to see, you know, that's an agent always thinking, always get a plug in for the author. Adam Neville, there, we've done it again.
We've had him before, and he is amazing, so we'd like him to come back.
Well, there, you see, that's the way it works. I'd also put a plug in for Sarah Pinborough, I think, Sarah. Have you met Sarah before, John?
Sarah and I have known each other for over 10 years, and we have lunch 3 or 4 times a year and drink too much red wine.
Well, there you have it. That sounds like the Sarah Pinborough we've appreciated on the show for quite some time. It's time she made a return journey too. John, the last two questions are going to be throwing at you by Ed Wellman.
John, have you had a reasonably interesting link with us on Siren FM this morning?
It's been absolutely fabulous.
We look forward to seeing you soon, but in the meantime, can we look forward to connecting with you again on the show soon?
Whatever it suits you.
I think, as I say, given that in the pre-off-air discussion, he said he was actually standing outside the Siren studios recently, waiting to talk about creative writing with some of our fine folk, with certain Pill Redpath, etc. I think it's destiny is bringing you know, into the location, like sort of spiralling around a kind of centrifugal thing. It's truly wonderful. John Gerald will return.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Yeah, I think they're getting carried away now. Or perhaps they should be carried away. Whatever. Sarah Bullimore. Who is a fine soul who you're sort of thinking he would be ideal in terms of a film critic sort of panel to actually join us as far as Lincoln Inspired 2014 is concerned?
That would be Richard Fitzwilliams.
That would be Richard Fitzwilliams, yes. Obviously, we need to sort of sort out the transport scenarios because he was so near and yet so far away on Monday.
How well described.
You were at that train station, but the trains were not running.
Indeed, they were not. And, you know, I wasn't very kind when some months ago we talked about Man of Steel, but if I could have levitated, the spirit was there.
It's very true. Ed, of course, then was charged with responsibility for taking down all the posters and immediately sort of putting cancelled, rearranged. I mean, honestly, the work that you gave this young man, Richard, it was just unbelievable. But he pulled it off, and I don't think anybody actually turned up, Ed, in the end.
Well, thank goodness for that. But, I mean, the point is, it was an infuriatingly frustrating experience, because when you know that, you know, you're committed and yet you simply cannot get there, and not only that, there were no trains at all for hours, and
you didn't fancy a hitchhike routine then?
You could fancy all sorts of things in a fantasy world, but if you were in the reality of King's Cross, which normally works very well, I do have to pay tribute to the way services go to the continent. No doubt about that. I mean, the Channel Tunnel has been a joy for me for my visits to Paris and Brussels and Amsterdam, but no help on this occasion. Overall, however, one has, I think, to make the point that the preparations for the storm, which was quite severe here, I mean, my back fence came down in it, and there were all sorts of ups and downs throughout the country, but it does seem to have been relatively sensible. And if there are trees on the line, it's hard to know what to do. I mean, trains have hitting difficulties. Do you remember that scene in a film called The Northwest Frontier, also released as Flame Over India, where a train with Kenneth Moore and Lauren Bacall in India under the Raj has to cross a bridge where there are only a couple of girders still remaining?
That sounds more like my life, actually, Richard, as opposed to anything else. But, you know, we'll hang on in there. That's the important thing.
Well, it was vertigo-inducing. I still remember it, and I saw it, rather a long time ago.
OK, let's move on then. Julian Assange, Benedict Cumberbatch. Who would have thought we'd be saying those two words in the same sentence, or indeed names?
thought that Benedict Cumberbatch would actually make the cover of Time. I mean,
it's astounding. I mean, surely he could have actually been there for his portrayal of John Harrison in Star Trek Into Darkness. Maybe even Sherlock Holmes, perhaps. Maybe just being the son of Wanda Ventum. But no, it's there for his Julian Assange portrayal.
It is, and it's a very fine one, directed by Bill Condon. This is a thriller that... It's received rather poor reviews, but it did remind me of the most extraordinary story behind the creation of WikiLeaks, which is portrayed as releasing information and protecting sources and also targeting undesirables. And subsequently, we learn that Assange, according to the film anyway, does it, but... wishes to protect sources, certainly, but doesn't care who gets hurt when the Bradley Manning...
How close, Richard, are we coming to actually... I mean, because of, obviously, the event that's taking place and the biopic that's actually there. I mean, for instance, I'm thinking already now we should be actually making plans for the Sarah Bullimore Lincoln-inspired saga that should be there. I mean, who would you like to play yourself, sir? I'm thinking Jodie Foster, possibly, you know?
Well, there is that thought. You could dwell on it and, indeed, come up with a series of names.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is that there is... This was part of the debate over the film Diana, which was a poor thing, a very, very, very pitiful Boone portrayal.
Don't beat around 16, the bush, Richard. Say what you really think.
16 years, and it was far too soon. Here you've got a film which, I have to say, actually rather gripped me, because despite so much has been written about various the Geeks Who Leak, another Time special recently.
The Geeks Who Leak? Who writes this stuff?
Well, Time magazine writes the stuff, and I've actually got it here. It's precisely the subtle headline that...
You know, Richard, I'm sorry I'm on my high horse here, and maybe Katie and Fatini might sort of want to challenge me on this, but it was only a matter of moments ago I was talking about a certain brand of American coffee house and saying the size, it's so frightfully vulgar. And here we have another classic case, an American magazine, The Geeks Who Leak. I'm sorry, but, you know, please.
Well, the hacktivist, how about that? Then
that's even worse, the hacktivists.
Yes, it's on the front cover, the informers. I mean, one of the things about Fifth Element which interested me was the fact that Cumberbatch is absolutely extraordinary as Assange, and it's a very good performance, and the character being portrayed, it's about him and Daniel Berg, the journalist with whom he spectacularly falls out, who is initially a collaborator, is undoubtedly, shall we say, rather extraordinary, and you start losing sympathy. But it did, visually, it's rather deft, and although, as a film, I would agree with some reviewers that it's not very subtle. It does remind you of this extraordinary issue where so much information is now flowing out, and look at the chaos it's causing in so many ways. And it, from that point of view, is quite a timely, you say, thriller come docudrama, I suppose. I was interested in it, and it's got a good cast. What's not to love when Stanley Tucci and Laura Linney turn up in a movie? And Peter Capaldi, hilarious as Alan Rushbridge, the editor of The Guardian. Well, I did enjoy that.
Exactly. Wouldn't he be? You know, Peter Capaldi is Alan Rushbridge. You know, he might as well go on to be Doctor Who. Oh, yes.
yes, indeed. No, I found it. I mean, it's a film that's absolutely bombed at the box office because it's so full of technicalities that most people went to the empty cinema when I...
And the title of the movie, once again, is...
It's The Fifth Element.
The Fifth Element.
Fifth Element, yes, and an element that's not appealing.
Even that, The Fifth Element, surely that was a movie that Luc Besson did with a good few years ago, you know, The Fifth Element, with a whole range of other fine folk in there. However, let's just do the usual test. Katie Grimerson, from what Richard said. The Fifth Estate.
Yes, you're quite right, absolutely right.
Just checking, Richard, you know.
Very wise to check.
You know, you don't want to go there thinking you want to see lots of flying cars and thinking, what's this then? I wanted to see Mila Jovovich. You know, instead you've given me Julian Assange.
Well, you've got to get people to the cinema to see this somehow. No one's going. Empty cinemas.
Right, Katie, would you go and see The Fifth Estate?
Yes, I would.
It's realistic, certainly. It's a biopic. Fatini Efstathiou, would you actually go and see?
Yes, I think I would.
All right, it appeals to you on that subject.
No, but it's interesting. I mean, what's your take on the Snowden and Manning and all these, the vast amount of information that being disseminated in one way and another? I mean, do you think it would make an interesting film? I mean, what is the appeal? Because you said you'd like to see it, but in fact, most people are Well, as I say, they're keeping clear, but it has got a remarkable actor in the central role.
Is it something which fulfills your definition of reality, insofar as obviously it's a portrayal of reality, something in fact? I mean, I'm thinking, actually, again, back to your dissertation, really, Fotini, the notion you're doing it on Pocahontas.
Yes.
Which, I mean, clearly Disney, it was just the closest thing you can actually get to a historical authenticity, I feel, you know, including those little animals and so on. It got very quiet there, Richard. Never mind.
My cartoons and I don't get Bambi. On. You could write a dissertation on the childhood of someone who avoided seeing Bambi and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It could be terrifying. I mean, you know, that could be a serious problem.
And don't get me started on the mass genocide. You start off with Finding Nemo. It's a different line entirely. But going back to the original question for Tini, is this something where you sort of think, actually, yeah, I quite like that sort of realistic bio sort of picture of the whole thing?
Yes, I do. I have to say, films set in the past that have a truthful element to them, I really enjoy.
Right.
It's one of my, really
one of my favourite kind of films.
Yeah. But how far back do you have to go, as Richard just said?
Very recent. Recent past. I mean, do you think it's too soon, or do you think it's never too soon if it's a challenging topic?
I agree that it's never too soon if it's a challenging topic.
You've
got a first-class actor. One of the things with Cumberbatch is, I mean, it is a riveting performance of somebody who appears to have had a bizarre childhood, or has he? Has he invented it? He dyes his hair white, which is rather curious, and his mannerisms are gripping throughout. I mean, there's no doubt he's excellent in the role, whatever you think of the film. Are you interested in Cumberbatch? Because his portrayal has been very, very good, and all on stage too, where I have to say I haven't seen him. I met him once, absolutely charming, and he played Pitt in Amazing Grace.
Yeah, well, there we are. Are you a Benedict Cumberbatch fan, Fotini?
I don't think I've seen much of his work.
Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. And Sarah?
Yeah, I'm a Benedict Cumberbatch fan.
Katie?
Not really.
Not really. No.
But have you ever seen him?
No.
Oh, well, obviously, there's a little flaw in the argument on that basis then.
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, perhaps we could tempt you then to Ender's Game. It's a highly diverting American science fiction film, and this is directed by Gavin Hood, a South African who made the superlative Tsotsi. And Asa Butterfield is Andrew Ender's Wiggin, a gifted child sent to an advanced military school in space because there's going to be another alien invasion from the Formics.
But don't worry, Richard, we've got Harrison Ford on the case.
Harrison Ford is starting to look indistinguishable from some sort of grumpy hound. It's rather distracting. I found it slightly disconcerting every single time as Colonel Graf. He has this curmudgeonly look. He really does need to lighten up and
Harrison,
loosen up.
Harrison, if you're listening, don't worry. You know, the views of some of our correspondents do not necessarily reflect those. You'll always be Indiana Jones or Han Solo.
Yes, indeed. There's no question about his pedigree. Yeah. Facts are, however, that he's diverting enough. So is Ben Kingsley when he pops up in this film, and Viola Davis too. But it's rather a colourful, in fact, may I say, the young take over the defence of the Earth. So perhaps the panel would like to comment on how they would repel an invasion of aliens rather than those who are older. Younger brains functioning
excellent,
better.
Excellent question, Richard, and I think at the heart of Lincoln Inspired. Sarah,
yes,
how are we going to repel those alien invaders that could be landing on the birthday bash at the Drill Hall tomorrow evening?
Well, if they're buying tickets, they can come in.
It's always there. Sort of the all welcome. Elliot won't mind. We'll just have a few aliens coming in.
It's
marvellous. Katie, how would you solve an alien invasion problem?
Send them to Birmingham.
Send them to Birmingham.
But I
noticed that you mentioned the film Tsotsi. I loved that film. I love South African history as well.
Yes, I was born in Cape Town, and in fact, you'll be interested that Idris Elba, the British actor, is playing Nelson Mandela in the new biopic, on Mandela, based on Long Walk to Freedom. It's the Royal Command film, and it will be very interesting to discuss that. Tsotsi was absolutely superb. I mean, it was so atmospheric. Here, obviously, in space, you've got all sorts of very, very colourful designs, and it's a movie that's actually got a certain amount of tension in it and some surprises, though I have to say it is 20 minutes too long. But the youth have much sharper brains and sharper minds. Mm. That's why they have to defend
the
Earth.
Yes, but they don't have the experience, Richard.
I guess the experience counts, well, for a certain amount, because there's Ben Kingsley's character. He's helped propel the Formics before, but somebody
there's
thought...
Hound Dog Harrison doing his piece. What can you ask
Dog, indeed. There's no doubt about it. It's rather colourful. There's lots of fun, lots of tricks, and one of these amazing movies where you've got Hayley Steinfeld, Abigail Breslin... Harry Potter meets Star Wars is the advertisement, perhaps with a touch of Hunger Games. The facts are that it's quite lively.
Not a kitchen sink in there as well, Richard. Just
no kitchen sink. No. It's far too colourful for that. But it's, you know, it's diverting enough, and I think it'll be popular among audiences. Which, as I say, I'm afraid the Theatre State wasn't and isn't. But it's interesting to have the mix of movies. And next week, we've got Gravity. Now, there is a movie.
Just hold fire there for the moment, Richard, before we go on to another Cuaron delight with respect to Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. I just want to actually put the spotlight onto Fatini once again. Could be a deal clincher, this. Alien invasion happening. How are you going to solve the problem?
I think I'll just hide under the table because I'm a scaredy cat.
So far, buy tickets for Lincoln Inspired's birthday bash. Send them to Birmingham. Hide under the table.
You're not supposed to be hiding under the table at all. You're supposed to be inspired. You're supposed to be thinking proactively.
Sometimes, you know, Ed.
I would recruit every single one of them as volunteers for community radio.
I thought they already had been, Ed.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, you got there first. No, and I'm one of them. They are.
I think that's a good shout.
Yeah. Oh. The community radio would have to, in fact, the transmitter would have to emit ferocious beams to drive the invaders off, surely.
No, I think it's more a case of we assimilate. That's the whole thing.
Embrace
and assimilate.
Yeah. Embrace and no, but these invaders are evil people. They won't assimilate at all. They'll destroy.
Let's move on to Gravity piece. Is there? I mean, it's got 5 stars all over the place.
Gravity. I think next week. I think we should.
I think we should wait for the week of release.
It's got five stars.
Exactly.
We should hold fire.
Because I have a sense you might be also talking about The Butler as well somewhere along the line.
Eventually, most certainly, when it's released. I haven't seen it yet, but one hears interesting murmurs.
So, Sarah, do you think, you know, Richard still has that magic to sort of say, well, in addition to obviously coming and talking about the press coverage of the Royals and various other factors that we had scheduled for LSJ Presents in that series, which continues, of course, next Monday when William Sitwell will be joining us for his debut, weather permitting, on the whole system. Do you think we should actually sort of book Richard for an event?
Yes, I think so.
I think you've passed the audition, Richard, but Sarah still has to ask you those last two questions.
Have you had a good chat with us today, Richard?
I've thoroughly enjoyed it, even though, alas, I've not actually been with you to chat with you in the studio.
Richard, what did I think? You look forward, you don't look back. If you keep looking back, you stagger backwards into the future, and you don't know where you could end up.
Well, I have to pay tribute in that case to Nigel Davenport, a fine character actor who's died. Occasionally, you have to look back and say he did it very well, and he was the Duke of Norfolk in A Man for All Seasons opposite Sir Thomas More, and he was superb.
Yeah. Excellent. And can we look forward then to speaking to you very soon?
Most emphatically. And we'll see how Gravity treats us all between now and then.
From international who's who to CNN. From film criticism to royalty. From South Africa to London. And now to the midweek drive on Siren FM. It's Richard Fitzwilliams.
Sitting in the morning sun,